Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. So please support them so we can continue to share these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Norma Stanley, and she is with Disability World TV. Welcome, Norma.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Disability World TV. Who are you serving, and what's going on over there?
Well, actually, Disability World TV is a new project of mine because I'm a journalist and I am also the mother of a daughter with disabilities. And I really don't see a whole lot of information that's being shared out there with regards to what people with disabilities in the community, what they're facing, and not even just what they're facing as a population, but also what triumphs and achievements they're making and contributing to society. So I wanted to try to fill that gap and created Disability World TV, which is a new show. It's a streaming television show that starts this month, actually, and on a streaming network called TGN Network on Experience On Demand Television.
And then, so how can a person go and find it? And is it online? They go to PGN Network.
They would have to download the app for XOD. It's Experience On Demand. They would have to go and download that app, and then they'll be able to find it. It is a subscription based program.
And then, is that available like on like Roku
yes.
or the smart
if you have
TVs?
Smart TVs, yes, exactly. You can access what you need through a smart TV or Roku and all of those types of things, yes.
And then what happens on the show? What are some of the content you're going to be sharing?
Well, I'm going to be sharing everything that has to do with life in the disability community, things that we deal with as a community that maybe, you know, people who are not part of the community see, but need to understand about the population and the community. It's actually the largest minority population in the world. You know, there's about in the U.S. alone, there are about 61 million people with disabilities. And, you know, and it controls about $1 trillion of disposable income. And so it's not a group of people that has traditionally been included the way they should be. They've actually been more overlooked and underserved than included. And that's one of the things that the community is trying to change. Those of us who are activists and advocates. And this coming weekend actually is the 30th anniversary of the ADA. And there's some things that we are very thankful have happened, you know, came into place as a result of that. But there's some things that still need to be done. So the Disability TV is going to share information from pop business and politics and healthcare and, you know, taking care of yourself, life, you know, self-care, entertainment, from all aspects of life, but would incorporate people with disabilities, family members, the stories of everyday folks, the stories of people who are doing amazingly well in their particular industry or category. It's going to be just helping to tell some stories and, you know, edify and educate people on the community.
Now, there's a lot of businesses that help in this area. Are you, do you have any advice for those businesses that want to partner with maybe adults that have some disability and that they can give them a career path, you know, kind of a big why, like to stay engaged and stay as part a vital member of the community?
Right. Well, that is very critical for this community. And we are very thankful for those companies who want to stay connected and incorporate people with disabilities in their corporate fold. Companies are just really starting to understand the viability of this consumer segment, you know, because they are because they have such a large discretionary income, people tend to think of them as a group of people who don't have any money, who are on the poor side or in the poverty-stricken area. But that is absolutely not true. And so people need to understand that it crosses every ethnicity, every race, every socioeconomic status, you know, every gender and every age. And it's the one community that anybody can join at any time. So any company that wants to be a part or connect with or support this community, that's actually one of the things that I do, is help companies connect with the disability community and develop marketing strategies, effective marketing strategies on how to connect with them efficiently and effectively. And so that's part of, there's so many things and so many ways that they can be a part. I mean, we just really just want to be a part of everything that everyone else is. But there are some things that people need to be aware of and companies need to be aware of. And so that's one of the things that I consult companies with.
So can you share some of those things that that they should be aware of? Maybe some low-hanging fruit that they can dip their toe into this? Because no one's going to think this is a bad idea, but they just might not understand what it takes in order to be a good partner.
Well, it starts with just basically understanding the community, understanding who we are, recognizing that they are, the people in this community want the same things that everybody else wants, opportunity. They want the same chances of having a great job or having a job at all, because people with disabilities sometimes are not hired at the same level as others without disabilities. And so, you know, if there's any way that they can make sure that, you know, from a corporate standpoint, that they are, you know, basically listening to the needs and opening up the door of conversation to make sure that everyone who may need to share a challenge or something, because not everybody's going to share. Some people don't identify as having a disability, but because they're not sure that companies are going to understand or even care. And so I think from an internal standpoint, they just need to make sure that they are communicating an open door policy and a way for people to understand that they, you know, they're inclusive, basically. It's the same thing with making sure that you're not discriminating with anybody else in anybody else's category, whether you're gay or lesbian or, you know, Black and Hispanic, whatever it is. However you are incorporating and looking to identify and market to various consumer segments you're trying to reach, you have to target the disability community the same way. You look, find out who they are, understand what the hot buttons are, and make sure that you connect with that community.
Now, in your work with Disability World TV, what do you need more of? Do you need more stories? Are you trying to get the word out and capture more of these inspiring stories and these success stories? Are you looking for a sponsorship? What do you need more of?
We're looking for people who want to help us share this information locally, nationally, and globally. XOD actually has a viewership of about 300 million people around the world. And so the Disability World TV segments are going to be like 30-minute segments, just telling different stories about people and some of the things that are going on. I'm based here in Atlanta, but we're going to be trying to tell stories about, you know, from every part of the U.S. and possibly some global opportunities. One of our upcoming stories is actually going to be about Curtis Lovejoy, the gold medal-winning Paralympian. He's going to be on one of our segments, one of our upcoming segments. We're going to be speaking with people like Jim LeBret, who is the director and filmmaker behind, or one of the people behind the documentary that's now showing on Netflix, actually, called Crip Camp, which is about a group of people who, when they were teenagers, talked about a camp for people with disabilities. And those same people grew up to become part of the disability revolution. They helped put in place some of the regulations that are now being enjoyed by the community. And they made sure things like the ADA law, that again, the 30th anniversary is coming up on the 26th of the ADA, the signing of the Americans with Disabilities Act, But they were the ones who made sure those things came into being. And so we're going to have people like that on the show. Judith Heumann, who is also, she's one of the people who definitely was at the forefront of international disability rights. So some people like that are going to be on the show. We're going to have, like I said, entertainers, nonprofits, businesses. We're going to be talking to business owners and corporations and executives who work with companies that support the disability community and find out how they do what they do and why they do what they do.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you raised a child that had disabilities. Tell us what you've seen regarding the progress that we've made maybe as a society over the years since you've been intimately involved in this world.
Well, my daughter actually will be 32 at the end of September. And there have been some changes, but there's some things that I still think need to be addressed. It's amazing to me that so many years later, I still hear moms share that they're not getting the information they need for the support and you know, the care of their children. A lot of the things that we think should be available as soon as a child is born and diagnosed with an intellectual or developmental disability, some things I think should be given them a package almost right out of the hospital. But it takes a while before they get the information they need. And that's still going on. My daughter was 9 months old before, you know, it was validated that something was wrong. I noticed something was wrong with her at 4 months when she wasn't turning over and doing things. Other little babies that I knew from work, you know, family members who had children, she wasn't doing the things according to what the, you know, I guess the rules are for the development. And but my pediatrician at the time said, you know, all babies develop at their own pace. And so, you know, until she was 9 months old that I was referred to, you know, a neurologist. And early infant stimulation is critical. You know, the earlier you start, the better chances are the child has of, you know, developing a little bit more, accelerates the opportunities for them to be able to develop a little bit more. And so my daughter now is 31, and you know, we went straight into the therapies, occupational speech and physical therapies. And, you know, she has good comprehension, but she was born with cerebral palsy and something called microcephaly, which is a small brain. And so she could do certain things, but she's still, you know, basically I have to take care of her because she's not independent, although she can do certain things for herself. She actually is a fashion model now because I like to make sure that she's involved with as many things as possible and doesn't miss out on anything. And so, you know, my recommendation and my observation is that there's still things that are lacking. As there are so many great organizations in the community that are there to support our families, but some of this information is not still getting to the families. And, you know, there's so many people falling through the cracks, and there's a lot of stress on families who are dealing with this challenge. Some, you know, my daughter is not medically fragile, but I know a lot of family members or families whose children are medically fragile and they have to be in the hospital a lot. And there has to be a little bit more support, in my opinion. And I mean, like I said, I still hear that there just isn't enough help for families like ours. So, you know, that's just one thing. There's so many. There's so many. But the thing is that we are families that are not looking for a handout in any way, shape, or form. But the reality is that, you know, to raise a typical child costs about $250,000 from birth to 18. But to raise a child with special needs, it can be over $1 million. Because they need equipment, they need health situations that they have those kind of challenges. My daughter had seizures. She doesn't have them so much now, but she used to have seizures. And you know, like I said, some babies need trachs and need feeding tubes and different things, so it can be very cost prohibitive. And you know, both my husband and I had great full time jobs, but you know, generally one of us have to leave corporate America to stay home and take care of the child. And I was that person at the time. I stayed home. I left corporate America to take care of my daughter. But you know, bottom line is there are ways to work around it. There's a lot of help out there, but the information is still not getting to where it needs to get to in many cases. And so we need to find a way to coordinate the help. And a lot of things, you know, are nonprofit. A lot of these organizations are nonprofit. So they could use some of the corporate support that's out there that's being funneled in all these different areas. Because the bottom line is, you know, everybody, just about everyone knows someone with a disability. If they don't have one in their family themselves, one in every three people knows someone with a disability. And, you know, it impacts, you know, one in every five families. And so it's a huge, huge population, and it's just been overlooked and underserved a little bit too long. And it's gotten better, but it's not anywhere near where it really still needs to be.
Well, we look forward to watching Disability World TV when it launches, and we appreciate that you're doing the hard work, not only for your own family, but for others, and helping others get through this challenging situation that, you know, that it's dealt to them with no fault for anybody. You know, it just is exactly one of those kind of things. So we appreciate you for kind of taking the initiative and making this happen. Now, if somebody wanted to kind of get on the radar of Disability World TV as maybe a potential guest, or they know of a potential guest, or they want to know when the times it's airing and things like that, is there a website for that?
You can just email me, because we haven't put up the show's website yet, so that's about to come up. But you can just email me, Norma Stanley, at eemarketinggroup@gmail.com.
And then normastanley.com is your website, so they can go there if they, that's probably easier to remember, normastanley.com. They can go there and they can learn more and then get contact you through that as well, right?
Yes, they can do that too, yes.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. You're doing important work, and we appreciate you for doing that.
Thank you, thank you. I appreciate you for having me on to be able to share. We look forward to, you know, having anyone who's interested in being on the show come on and get in touch with me, and we'd love to help tell your story.
Good stuff. All right, this is Lee Cantor. We'll see y'all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. We'll be right back.